Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Faith Alive, inspiring talks from the finest Catholic speakers. Today, from the 2018 Columbus Catholic Women's Conference, the lead-off speaker, Lisa Hendy. Immediately following Lisa's talk, we'll hear from the musical group His Own. And here's the MC, Brooke Taylor, with the introductions. Enjoy!
Our first speaker today is the best-selling author of numerous books, including The Grace of Yes, Eight Virtues for Generous Living, The Catholic Mom's Companion, and The Chime Travelers children's fiction series. It's a series of books that dynamically combines time travel in the lives of saints. Wonderful for children, although moms enjoy it too, I must say. And she serves as editor-at-large of Ave Maria Press. Our speaker travels internationally, giving workshops on faith, family, Catholic technology, communications topics. She was selected as an Elizabeth Egan Journalism Fellow, attended the Vatican Bloggers Meeting, the Bishops and Bloggers Meeting, and has written internationally on the work of Catholic Relief Services and Unbound. In fact, following this conference today, she's actually leaving to head with Unbound to Nairobi, Africa today. So what a blessing that in all of that, she's with us this morning. She lives with her family in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, and we are so pleased to welcome her today. Please offer a warm welcome to Lisa Hendy.
Wow, good morning, everyone. I'm so honored to be here, and for the ladies who are making their way back from the coffee, we'll have you here in spirit with us, but we're going to begin our time together today with a moment. I'm going to ask everyone to, no matter where you are in this building, to join me for a moment of silent prayer. I know, although I come from Los Angeles, I've been here in your community for the last few days, and I know that for your community and also for our country at large, that there have been some challenging circumstances in the last week. And so I'm going to ask you to join me just, even if you're over by the coffee pots, for a moment of silence, to remember not only those in Florida who lost their lives for the tragedy there, for their loved ones, for healing and reconciliation, for the valiant police officers of this community who were laid to rest, for their loved ones and those who are missing them. And I ask you to join me in a special way today in prayer for lovely Peyton. Her face is on the screens here. And there's more information in your program about Peyton. And we ask our Heavenly Father to bring Peyton home. And also that all of those women of any age who are separated, abused in any way, away from their loved ones, that there be healing for them. So I ask you now to just join me in a moment of silent prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Well, what a joy. Brooke just recited my bio, but I always love when I come to speak someplace to get to know the women that I'm speaking with as well. And so I'm going to conduct what I call my patented saint-in-the-making smackdown. So this is for me to have a chance to get to know you ladies a little bit too. So let me see, first of all, I'll just have you stand, my baby saints. And by baby saints, I'm referring to anybody who is in this room and under the age of 25. Please stand. Yay. I once made the mistake in a gathering of women of saying to my young women who were present, "Thank you so much. You're the future of our church." And I was boldly corrected by one of those young women who told me, I'm sorry, Mrs. Hendy, I'm not the future of your church. I'm your church right now. And the truth is that your presence here, your leadership, your vigor and energy blesses us. And we thank you for your time today. I'd also love to see any of the women in this room who may be journeying into the church through the RCIA this year, or who came into the church within the last few years, to please stand. Yay. To these sisters in Christ, I thank you so much for the hope that you give us. We journey with you, and please know that you're in our prayers. Now, how about my spiritual saints? And this is any woman in this room who is a woman of prayer. Please stand. Good morning. Woohoo! Yes, I love that. Okay, you can sit back down. But I want to see my insane saints. So anybody who parents or ministers to teenagers, please stand now. Okay, these are the ladies who need to be taken out for happy hour after today's time together. Okay, well, Bishop already asked you to stand, but I want to see my singularly sensational saints of any age. Please stand if you are a single lady. Okay. Now, remain standing if you would like to be put on the list that I keep of people who'd like to be fixed up with eligible young men. Thank you. Or religious orders. I'm going to add that one now. So those two. Okay, let's see so this is my favorite one, our senior saints. So I was baptized in 1963. If you were baptized before me, please stand. If you're able. Okay, let's see. If you were baptized before 1940, please remain standing. Before 1940. I know I have a few out there. And do I have anyone in the room who was baptized before 1930? No. They're home taking a nap. Yes? Yes? Oh, great. Thank you so much. I always like to ask our senior saints to pray for me. And then for this kind lady back here who seems to be our most senior saint, just to know that if I become incapacitated during the talk in any way, one of our senior saints will take over. So we're in good shape. So we're here today to talk about the grace of yes. And this idea that we are called, each of us, to give our own unique and beautiful yes. And with the grace of yes, basically, this is kind of a three-pronged concept that that I have come to in my own life. This idea that we give a yes that's radically open to God's will for our life. That the yes that we give causes us not only to say yes to God, but to say yes to the world around us. Quite honestly, ladies, this is where the rubber hits the road. This idea that sometimes it's easy to say yes to God and difficult to say yes to the people that live under the same roof as us. So, but if we're being honest, a radical, open yes to God radically changes the way that we see the world around us and causes us always to err on the side of generosity. I'm not talking here about financial generosity, but rather a generosity of spirit that has the capacity to truly revolutionize the world that we're living in. And as Bishop said so eloquently, we don't get to say yes once and then that's good forever. Some of us have to wake up every day. Me, I have to say it multiple times a day. So a daily renewal and commitment. When I was invited to come to the conference and they presented the theme to me, I thought how interesting it is that that these words, be brave, would come on a day when I feel, quite frankly, a little terrified to stand before you. So I thought the irony of that is not lost on me. So I went looking around for what those words really meant, and I learned that they were words that were given by Pope Francis in April of 2013 to a group of young men who had pursued the priesthood. At his ordination, he said to them, "Ask Jesus what he wants from you, and be brave. And ladies, I will tell you firsthand, when we give God our yes, you better be ready to be brave, because it will amaze you the places that God will take you. But we're not our own, because that day Pope Francis also said to those seminarians, ask Mary to better help us know the voice of Jesus and follow Mary in her walk of life. So it's so good to know that we're never alone in this. The grace of yes is originally, stems from this beautiful fiat of our blessed mothers. This moment in scripture, Luke 1:38, when Mary said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. I look at this image, a beautiful moment of the Annunciation painted by Blessed Fra Angelico. And to be honest, I don't think it really looked like this. If I have any teenage girls in the room, just raise your hands again. Just imagine yourself in this situation. This amazing proposal is put forward to you. I don't think Mary was actually wearing a ball gown like that. I'm pretty sure that she was probably in something much more simple. And I imagine it being, I always think of her dusting or sweeping, because I've been to the Holy Land and it's a little bit dusty there. So I don't think she was just sitting on that bench. And I don't know what the exact circumstances were, aside from what we have in scripture. But I like to think that Mary rose up through the fear that she felt surely in that moment to embrace the grace of her particular yes. So the question that we have today is, how do you and I find that yes in our life? And what I'll be sharing with you today are some ingredients that go into a good and worthy yes. I don't have time to go through all of them, but I'd love to go through a few of them. And the first one that I want to talk about is this yes to belief. No microphone? Okay, I'll stay over here. So a yes to belief. So what does that mean for us, a yes to belief? Pope Francis said in a recent document that he wrote, the church is a family of families constantly enriched by those lives of the domestic church. I think that each of us has to come to, in our own mind, what does the yes that we give to belief mean to us? I'll share with you that in my family, that's my mom and dad. Aren't they so cute? Hi, mom and dad. That for me, I was so blessed to be raised in a Catholic home where domestic church and the idea of an unconditionally loving God came so clearly to me, so beautifully through the unconditional love of my parents. But the truth of the matter is that at a certain point, I had to claim my own faith journey. And so for the young women out here right now, you can imagine that I was like you in my high school and college years, surrounded by my Catholic school friends. But then suddenly I found myself as a young newlywed, married to, as my daddy likes to say, the one guy at the University of Notre Dame who is not Catholic and didn't play football. So there I was, making vows to live out my faith life, to journey as a Catholic myself, and then to bring my children into this faith. And so there was that moment at which I had to say, yes, Lord, I believe, and to understand what that meant for me. So I love, one of my favorite documents is Pope Francis's Evangelii Gaudium. And in this particular document on the joy of the gospel, he gives words to preachers. So let me see your hand if you're a preacher out there. Raise your hand up high if you're a preacher. No, no preachers? Raise your hand if you have been baptized, ladies. Yeah, that's what I thought. You should have raised your hand last time. Pope Francis gives you these words. He says the preacher ought, first of all, to develop a great personal familiarity with the Word of God. What does that mean in your life? Where do we find the Word of God? Pope Francis has given us some beautiful moments where we understand his reverence for Jesus Christ. Here's a lovely moment recently when he reverenced Jesus in the nativity scene. I love this particular image even more because to me, this is our call, each of us, to recognize the Word made flesh and to recognize the dignity of every human life. And so as a church that believes valiantly in the dignity of every human life, we have a leader who leads us into this, that we preach as often with our actions as we do with our words. And here's a third image that really struck me. This happened at a papal audience just a few years back when a gentleman named Vinicio Riva, sorry for the Italians out there if I murdered that, came forward to be present at the Wednesday audience with Pope Francis. And it's very interesting when you look at this image and you get to know a little bit more about this man, that in this moment, there was just a quiet exchange between Pope Francis and him. And yet, what Vinicio said afterwards, he said these words, "I feel stronger and happier. I feel I can move ahead because the Lord is protecting me." In this moment, for Pope Francis, Vinicio was Christ truly present in his midst. And you and I have that as well. We have people who need that healing touch from us, for whom we can provide nothing but accompaniment. Pope Francis did not miraculously heal Vinicio, and yet this man will tell you that he goes forward now more courageous in his daily faith journey because of this small encounter. Who is it that you and I heal with our touch in our everyday lives, with our courageous and brave yes? Now I want to ask you to please raise your hand if you have all of the time you need every day for your prayer life. Just raise your hands up high. Okay, would you please pray for me every day? Because I feel more like this. I feel like, and ladies, you may feel this way too, that everybody wants a piece of me. Everybody. That there's not enough of me to go around. And it's all great stuff, but all of it rises to the top of my to-do list. So I found myself with this idea that I wanted to create a domestic church. I wanted to say yes to faith. And yet I knew I had a prayer life that was sorely lacking in the ingredients that I needed. So I began to ponder, what are the things that are keeping me from praying? And to really ask myself this question, that is not it. Although that is one of the things that does keep me from praying. We'll come to that in a moment. How do I prioritize prayer? And I'll tell you just a little story about one of the things that was keeping me from prayer. I'm not by nature a matronly woman. I was very into my career. And when my two sons came along, my husband and I decided that I would retire and I would become a stay-at-home mom. But I didn't take to it easily. And I found that often one of the things that most caused me to confess my sins in the confessional was my laundry. So I'm being honest here when I say that I was very frustrated by the laundry. I live with three men, and the laundry was very upsetting to me because of many of my senses being violated. But in the course of assessing this and asking myself, how can I find more time every day for prayer, I began to realize that laundry was a daily task for me. And it started with the simple placing of a holy card in the laundry room. And the idea that I would pray over my son's laundry. As I desperately tried to match the socks, I would pray for the feet that belonged in there. As I ironed my husband's white coat, I would pray for the patients he would see at the hospital that day. That became a moment of prayer. Pretty soon, I brought a little statue of the Blessed Mother in there and hung this glow-in-the-dark rosary that I've always loved on the wall of the laundry room. And soon, there was a CD where I could play, CDs from Mother Angelica or pray the rosary. And the proliferation of sacred space just went on in my laundry room. And soon my family was asking, "Mom, why are you spending so much time doing laundry?" But the truth is that that had become for me a sacred place, a place where I felt connected both to my vocation and to my family. So fueled by that prayer, God hasn't had an amazing call for me, this call to leave the laundry room and to start doing stuff like this. And if I say to you, I am every one of you, I'm a housewife, a mom, I was not a theology major in college. I majored in party girl. And yet, look where God has brought each of us and look where God has brought me today. So suddenly, this call to leave the laundry room and go out to be a preacher, as each of you are called to be, became my reality. So a fearless preacher. So let me just ask you, and now we can show that picture. Do they have women's night out or ladies' night out or girls' night out in Columbus? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So in my home state of California, we have it. Of course, when you go to mom's night out or ladies' night out in California, there's the waiter who comes with all the food. And then at the end, he comes along with the tray. And he says to everyone, you know, would you like one of these desserts? We're specializing tonight in the chocolate lava cake. And in California, of course, everyone is like, oh, no, gluten-free, vegan, triple cappuccino with coconut water, decaf, skinny. And I'm like, oh, yeah, bring the chocolate lava cake and bring extra forks. So the chocolate lava cake comes along, and the extra forks are here. I take my bite. It's so delicious. And suddenly, all the other ladies, I'm like, you have to have some. So, of course, you know, oh, just one small bite. So they take a bite. And soon we're telling the people at the table next to us, we're going out into the parking lot as we're leaving and saying, ladies, you have to have the chocolate lava cake. It's the most phenomenal thing ever. So we're so excited to tell everyone about the chocolate lava cake, and yet ask us if we're willing to share our faith. We don't want to offend anyone. I don't know. I'm not so sure about that. Pope Francis calls us as evangelizers to be spirit-filled evangelizers, and that means that we are fearlessly open to the workings of the Holy Spirit. When is the last time that you were fearlessly open to the workings of the Holy Spirit? When was that for you? Can you remember? If not, I'm going to ask you to get out of your comfort zone, to be brave. Let's say it together. Be brave. Be brave in our sharing of the evangelization. Not everyone is called up here to a podium to give a speech, but each of us is called to employ our own spiritual gifts, as Scripture tells us, to share the good news with the world around us. We have to always be ready to give an answer to the reason for our hope, and that is our faith. Now, buoyed by that faith, we then take a step into the next grace of yes, which is a yes to love. So please just raise your hand for me if you love someone in your life. Raise them up high. All right, ladies, I like to see that. So let's talk for a few moments about that idea of love. For me, here he is, the love of my life. Isn't he so cute? You're so cute. That's my husband, Greg. And, you know, I have to say that this year we will celebrate, God willing, we will celebrate 33 years of marriage. Yes, thank you. Please pray for us. What I want to share about Greg is that Greg has taught me in so many ways to more deeply love Jesus Christ. I share that he wasn't Catholic when we were first married. You know, it wasn't until 17 years into our marriage, I tell my children, they catechized their daddy, that Greg came into the church the same year as my second son, Adam. They received their first communion together that year. And what a blessing it was. But I realized maybe about, I'll say 15 years into my marriage, that a yes to love for me meant a yes to understanding that Greg's spiritual journey was not my own, and that along with praying for his conversion, which I would never stop doing, what I really needed to focus on was turning my own heart closer to Jesus Christ. That the only conversion story that I could completely control was my own. And so in those instances when I would look around at myself in Mass and think, oh, look at her husband. He's a Knight of Columbus. They're so perfect. Why can't my husband wear a suit to church like that? All that stuff that happens in the pews, I needed to let that go and fall more deeply in love with my husband just as he was. Scripture calls us to be truly present. And I want to ask you now to consider this in your own life, how you are truly, bravely present. Each one of you in this room raised your hand and said you love someone. How does your faith in Jesus Christ transform that love for you? Daily, how is Christ truly present in the people that you're called to love? How does the reception of the Eucharist, as we came forward so wonderfully to receive it this morning, radically change the way we live in our love relationships? It can be a moment of great challenge for us to truly love as we're called to in Scripture. The example that I like to look to is the example of the beloved disciple. Scripture tells us that standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. The love that I want is that love of the beloved disciple, John. And it's a love for any woman, regardless of your age, your vocation, your station in life. This call to radical agape love. It's a love that asks ourselves, am I a constant emotional companion for the one I love, or am I simply present to my loved one when it's convenient for me? In other words, ladies, am I willing to be John standing at the foot of the cross for my loved ones? Do we need some bravery to be that for people? Absolutely. And then I ask myself, am I willing to stand with my loved one in their moment of greatest need? To be honest, for many of us, we would rather see ourselves suffer than our loved ones suffer. And so it takes courage to stand in that moment of vulnerability with someone and simply to be present to them as John was for Christ at that moment on the cross. And then this last one is very interesting. Does my heart leap at the sight of my loved one in recognition of God's presence within them? This agape love of John led him, if you read in Scripture, to run to be at the tomb the moment that he learned that the tomb had been opened. At that moment of the resurrection, we read in Scripture that John ran. So do we run to be at the side of our loved ones? I often have to ask myself, when I wake up in the middle of the night and look over at my husband, is my heart leaping at the sight of him? To be honest, ladies, it is. I sometimes ask him to roll over during that moment. But it is. That's the love. That's the love, regardless of whether you're a young woman in high school or an 85-year-old grandmother of many. That's the love that causes us to love as the beloved disciple did. We may never see Jesus resurrected in our lifetime, and yet we have the opportunity every day to boldly and courageously serve Jesus Christ through those who share our home with us. So I want to tell you another love story. I hope I can get through it without crying. This is my son Eric and my new daughter-in-law Leia at their wedding. We celebrated their engagement in July of 2016, and they spent a year planning the most beautiful wedding. They would be married in St. Rose of Lima, and their wedding reception would unfold itself in beauty at a winery in Sonoma, California, in October of 2017. Maybe you can remember back to what was happening in my state in October of 2017, and you can imagine these newlyweds 36 hours before their wedding learning that their venues had changed, that indeed their church would remain standing, but all of their other venues, because of the fires that raced through the wine country, were no longer available. And indeed, when they called their presider a few days before the wedding to ask about what would happen, they did so because their priest, who would be marrying them, a theology teacher at a local Catholic high school, had learned that his high school had burned to the ground. They asked him, "Father, what should we do? Will the wedding go on? Do we need to reschedule? We have family coming literally from around the world to be with us." And Father told them, "You cannot reschedule. Your vows are a sign of hope for this community. Your vows are a sign of courage. Your yes means yes now, in good times and in bad, more than ever." And so those vows happened. The wedding reception, ironically, happened here with picnic tables and twinkly lights that everyone in the wedding party hung the day before. There wasn't the planned venue, but you know what was very interesting? I love St. Therese of Lisieux. The replacement venue was a rose nursery, a shower of roses for my son and daughter. A true story of courage and love. I think Eric and Leah will be able to conquer any odds in their marriage because the courageous yes that they said that day encouraged not only them, but everyone around them. Another love story belongs to the mommy and daddy of these particular feet. I can't show their faces, but they belong to friends of mine who really strived for years to have children of their own and could not, ultimately turning to the foster care system and becoming what they call forever families to children. They have now adopted 3 children, but scores of children have come through their home. Sometimes being a forever family means just that, forever. Sometimes being a forever family means reuniting a child with their birth parents and becoming a forever family to that mother. This couple asked me, and I will ask you, to pray for their first child that they were praying to adopt. They would ask that we all pray for blessed hope, that we would pray for blessed hope. And I'll tell you, ladies, every time I go to Mass, although this plea for prayer came first about 6 years ago, every time I hear those words, "we await the blessed hope," we hear them. I think of this family and these little feet and all the blessed hopes that will come through not only this home, but other foster care and adoptive homes in our country. We pray for healing in every family. I ask in this last section of a yes to love that if you're someone who feels that this yes to love is missing in your life at this point, that maybe you long for love and yet there's a loneliness within you, that today be the moment when you overcome any sadness or longing that you feel by recognizing the fact that this morning, ladies, as Bishop told us, we began our path to transformation. And if there is loneliness and longing in your heart for love, I ask you simply to go out fueled by the Eucharist that you received today and to become that yes to love for others. I'm convinced that if every woman in this room would live by this radical idea of yes to love, that we could begin a movement here in Columbus that's clearly already begun when I look at a sea of you, that would transform not only this community but our world. The change in our church happens in many places. It happens in the Vatican for sure. It happens with your bishop, but it also happens with you and I. When we courageously step up, not to dwell on those parts of our heart that are broken, but to be love to the brokenhearted. Does it take courage? Yes. But you know those 2 words, right? Let me hear them. Be brave. Be brave. So the next yes that I want to dwell on is a yes to humility and forgiveness. So we have this beautiful opportunity today to embrace the sacrament of reconciliation. And this is one that I'll ask any of my speakers about this too, that if you say yes to humility, so most of us would say to you, "Oh yeah, I'm humble." But it happened a few years ago that my girlfriend started teasing me and calling me the diva. Now I'm going to ask my speaker angel, Anne, do you think I'm a diva, Anne? No. But I realized in this moment of seeking humility that there was within me a little bit of my inner diva. And so I decided to turn to the anti-diva, the one who has the right to be every diva, but isn't, our Blessed Mother. And to look at this moment of great beauty that happened. I love this particular image because it shows that moment when John the Baptist is literally leaping in the womb of St. Elizabeth. And this interaction occurs. I'll translate it into Californian for you. "Wow, Mary, how awesome to see you. The baby like totally jumped in my stomach when you approached. this is so fantastic. It's totally rad. That's Valley Girl. And Mary said this. She didn't say, oh my gosh, my dress is all dusty from walking all this way. My feet are swollen. Look at me. No, she said this. She said, Mary said, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked upon his handmaid's lowliness. Behold, from now on, all ages will call me blessed. The mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. So ladies, when you and I receive a compliment, rather than turning on our inner diva and saying, oh, this old thing, oh, you know, I got it on clearance at Walmart. When someone compliments you, do you know what that is? That is your opportunity to testify to the source of all goodness. So the diva will, in false humility, turn away compliments. We need to follow Mary's fiat, which says in a Magnificat way, God is so incredible. Look what God has done in my life. If you're complimenting me, thank you. I give it all up to the source of all goodness. Can you do that for me? Yes, absolutely. A humble yes recognizes that forgiveness is a gift. This picture was taken a few years ago when I had the opportunity to travel in the country of Rwanda on the eve of the 20th anniversary of the Rwandan genocide. And I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it for myself, the work of the church in providing reconciliation mediation between those who survived the genocide and their perpetrators, who were now being repatriated out of prison sentences and back into the communities where often they had done these heinous sins. So I couldn't have understood it if I hadn't seen scores of people like this gentleman and lady who came together each week to try to find forgiveness in their relationships with each other. I pondered that and I thought about how many hurts and grudges I carry around in my heart every day, and how if these people who sustained such terror and brokenness in their relationships could find forgiveness, how could I harbor such a grudge against the person who just stole my parking place? I don't know how that could be. Or how could I ever forgive someone who had hurt my husband or one of my sons? When I assess this, I really recognize that within me, there was a lack of humility that was causing me to keep myself from one of the greatest yeses in my life. And that's a yes to true forgiveness for myself through the sacrament of reconciliation. Pope Francis says, and pay attention if you're a little nervous about going to confession today. He says, when we go to confession, we feel a bit ashamed or afraid, but we must remember that this shame is a grace that prepares us for the embrace of the Father who always forgives and always forgives everything. There is nothing, ladies, that we have done that can irreparably damage our relationship with God if we avail ourselves of the sacrament, the most important thing aside from the Eucharist that we will do today. I heard that there are going to be 50 priests here today. Raise your hand if you want to see every one of those priests busy all of the time of confession. I'll share with you that if it's been a little while since you've been to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, that all you need to do is go to the priest and say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I'm so sorry, I can't even remember. It's been years. One priest shared with me recently that in that moment, when a penitent comes forward to him and says those words, I'm afraid, Father, I don't know what to say, but I know I need to be here. He said, that's the moment when my heart rejoices. There's no judgment. There's only that loving embrace of forgiveness. So please enjoy your time with the ladies here today. Have great lunch and enjoy your fellowship. But please don't miss this opportunity to have the most beautiful love embrace that you'll have for your entire season of Lent. So I want to conclude my remarks here with a few thoughts on how we move forward, fueled by that yes to belief, that yes to love, that yes to forgiveness and humility, a yes to the vulnerability that sometimes makes us feel too weak, with a reminder of those two words, those words, be brave. We're not the first to face what we've faced, and we're never, ever alone in this journey. Some people sometimes ask me, if you have a chance to go by the book booth and see the cover of my book, it's called The Grace of Yes. And in very bizarre fashion, there's what appears to be a goldfish jumping out of what appears to be a martini glass on the cover of my book. Unless you're Scott Hahn, or maybe Mother Angelica, who in her day probably got to choose the cover of her book. If you're Lisa Hendy, they say, here's your book cover. We've checked it with different groups of people, and this is the one that market tested the highest. And you say, but it's a goldfish jumping out of a martini glass. What does that mean? And they say, you'll have to figure that out. So here's what I figured out about that goldfish and that martini glass. That martini glass is too small. We named that goldfish. His name is Fiat. Not after the car, but after Mary's Fiat. And in my mind, that little Fiat cannot be contained by that vessel that is the martini glass. He must spring forward and face a world. And that's you and I. Each of us in our own little way is called to a brave, courageous, loving, impenetrable yes. Will there be days when we say it like this? Yes, God. Will there be days when we beg with tears in our eyes? Yes, God. There will be. But for each of you, I don't know how many women are in here, but I love to look down on you and think all of these yeses. It won't be a political leader. It won't be a law or a regulation that causes the revolution of love that's needed to fix what's broken in our world. It will be each of our yeses. Communally, we come together as the body of Christ to offer this brave, courageous yes that will revolutionize our world. We won't know until hopefully, well, I'm hoping to get one big toe into purgatory. But when I see all of you, God willing, you know where, we'll look back and rejoice on the beauty of each of your yeses. So I ask you today to say that word with me. Let's hear it. Yes. And for those moments when yes is scary, yes is overwhelming, yes is too hard, what are we going to say? Those two words? Let me hear it a little louder. May God richly bless you. Have a beautiful day. Thank you for your yes.
You've been listening to Lisa Hendy from the 2018 Columbus Catholic Women's Conference. And this is Faith Alive, a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Coming up next, we're going to hear the music of His Own, the band that provided the music for the 2018 Columbus Catholic Women's Conference. Thanks for joining us today. God bless, and have a great day.